He was looking. Now look at his steal.
Here's the steal. 3-on-1. Alley-oop. Oh my goodness. Marcus Mizzen.
And you certainly are in love with him here in Louisville. Marcus in the open floor. Hops. Incredible.
Get up, get up, get up, get up. Let's get ready for Marcus Mathan. You're about midway to the midday with Marcus Mathan. And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Mathan. So sit back and relax and watch Mathan.
Break it down like this. Woo!
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Mathan on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Mathan and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Mathan. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station, and it's a Friday, but it is an In Your Feelings Friday. Because I had the roughest of starts. And people who know me, you know it's only a few things that can give me a rough start in the morning. One, irresponsible traffic. And two, take your Burger King bag and throw it in the trash can, Chrysler 300 AAR. Throw your trash. You are 10 feet from the dumpster. I cannot believe you would throw that bag out of your car in my beautiful neighborhood in the middle of those cars like that. That was the worst, most irresponsible citizenry that I've seen on display in quite some time. Jeez. Speaking of In Your Feelings. Steve Rummage in the building, Nick Bombano in the booth.
Well, good news is this is the last day with Nick Bombano, I think. So we have that going
on. So where's the good news?
No, I'm joking. That's terrible news. It's actually terrible news.
Love you guys,
man.
Too. Love you guys, too.
No, that is actually terrible news because we really...
Do you feel overworked when you come in here and work this show?
Nah, not really. No, I mean, like...
not really.
No, you guys are... Like the most.
Are we? Just say it. We're the easiest show to work for.
Yeah. No. You guys are great.
Work with Steve. Work with.
Yeah. No. It's. You know. It's. If I was actually competent and you know, prepared. it's almost like I've got that thing in my brain where I have to make it stressful and a challenge.
Did you feel late today?
Oh my God. Yeah. I slept super late. I got here super late, and then I was like, I got to cut this Bozich interview, so I cut it like super quick.
Listen, Nick.
Yes.
You beat Brian here by 10 minutes.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to say. I don't want to make it sound. Because if I say any more, it's going to be on the mixtape of when I got here.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
There will be chubbies and pageantry.
How much trouble is Jack going to be in for sitting in the office talking with me while you were on the air?
Steve, how are you going to do the boy like that?
Uh-huh.
How are you going to do him like that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, dude, he knows the rules. When our voices are on the microphone, his butt's in the chair.
You are right front and center in that desk.
Yeah.
Cutting and chopping and pasting.
Jack is a hefty lad. And, I mean, I know you're a strong guy. I saw the flex on Streebs yesterday.
You like that?
Yeah. It was like, damn, who's that man?
That's right.
But, I mean, you probably should have stretched before you threw that big body under the bus like that. Because poor Jack now is just.
Jack actually. I didn't ask him because I didn't know if it was just what he was wearing today or what, but he lost a little weight. And I was like, Jack, and we joke. I mean, Jack's not like, you know, it's not like he, hey, man, you got a real problem here. But like, but he looked like he lost a little weight. I was like, look good, man. I didn't say nothing to him, though, because like, I don't know. I'm weird about saying stuff like that to people because you don't know sometimes. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you'll be like, oh, man, you're losing a lot of weight. And they're like, well, yeah, you know, I've got this or that. And you're like, Oh.
Or something's going on in their life.
No, like, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like they have a disease or they have well, my wife left me, you know, and I haven't ate in 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're like, oh, sorry. You know,
depression.
So, yeah.
It's
depression.
A hell of a diet.
Hey. Yeah, congrats. I don't know. So there's that. But anyways, yeah, so a lot of good stuff, man. Did I look good in that picture? I looked good in that picture.
You did look good, man. You did.
The one knee football picture? Oh, that's Gladiator.
That was my junior year.
That's Gladiator, Steve.
So imagine what I looked like when I took a cycle of steroids that summer, my senior year.
Somewhere between Goldberg and Brock Lesnar.
I took Test and D-ball. Stacked them.
Listen, I'm not familiar with it, but it sounds
you
aggressive.
You shoot one up, you take the other orally.
Don't tell me that.
I got to put that one on the mix.
Don't teach our kids about any of that right now. Nikki Malvano in the booth. How's it going, Nikki?
All jokes aside, I couldn't lose weight during basketball season.
Steve, stop justifying something you shouldn't have been doing on this. This is a wholesome show.
Fair enough.
So, Steve, what's going on? I said, Steve, Malvano, how's it going?
Yeah, so how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty okay. the exact opposite of all that. I put a donut in the fridge yesterday.
Did you?
It was a leftover donut. No one ate it. And I was like, I can't. The fat kid in me can't throw this away.
Mm.
So I put it in the fridge, and it was a cruller. It was like cream filled.
Mm.
Put that on the mixtape, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, it got all chilled and coagulated.
Ooh.
So knocking that back with a nice crisp Apple Focus.
The Apple Focus.
Breakfast
is good.
Of champions.
Probably no coffee with it?
No, I didn't go with coffee today, mostly because I just wanted something cold. And also because I was at breakneck speed trying to get the Bosage interview cut. So
hey, Charles.
I didn't have 30 seconds to wait for the coffee to get brewed. How late I was.
Could we do a show, Charles? You've been in here 5 times.
Yeah, seriously, what the hell, dude?
Yeah, what do you
And
mean?
You didn't show up for the gas bags game. Now, Steve didn't either, but he's a parent and he's got tenure. So, what in the... Oh, now you got something to say. Now you got something to say. All right, give him a tug, young
lad. He's growing up, y'all.
Is this still getting on the...
He's growing up!
Okay, I'm running in and out of here.
Okay.
Because a certain man behind the microphone in this room is having me search for things for him.
Okay.
So, it's for him.
Okay.
That's for him. You guys need anything?
No, just crawl in. We just don't want to see your face. It's not that we care that you're in here. Just don't want to actually look at you.
Steve.
What?
We finally got him to get on the microphone over here, and you're being completely mean to him.
He's an ugly guy. What do you want me to say? Do you want me to tell him he's a good-looking guy?
Give out your Twitter right now.
What a great... I don't have my phone. Too late.
Give out your Twitter.
You don't know your Twitter?
Give it out. CMonty2000.
Y'all go look at him.
CMonty2000.
Tell me if you think he's a good-looking guy.
Into the microphone. Novel concept.
I'm speaking into it.
Well, okay, then put a little bass in the voice there,
buddy. Yeah, put some... Come on, West Virginia.
Say it with your chest.
He's my favorite intern of all time.
Obviously, yeah, right, obviously.
You really are, listen, man. I would
not be making these jokes if he didn't really like
I would
you.
Go to the university and try to fight for you a scholarship if you would stay here. That's how much I want you
here. You would go to U of L for me to do that?
I would.
They don't have a journalism program.
Apparently.
Not yet.
We could start one.
No.
First text says I'd do it.
You know what?
First text says I would do it.
Listen, well, make sure you follow him.
He's actually a tremendous-looking guy.
Listen.
That's what's funny about it.
What you just said is going to be the perfect transition, Steve.
Yeah.
He was the answer to all our prayers.
Thanks, Charles. We're done with you.
No journalism school at the University of Louisville. Huh. Well, go figure. Maybe that would be the reason that the local journalism, I have to spend my morning critiquing the local journalism.
Okay.
Just saying, the Rummage School of Broadcasting.
Listen.
And the Mabin School of Journalism. We can make it happen.
Listen.
Is it peyote if we ask people to give us money for this? Payola.
We got Phil Jackson running the mic in
here. I was like, I had a buddy took that once.
Call me the Zen Master for a reason.
Okay. Journalism transition. And no, it would not be payola for us to start asking for funding for a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I want to get my beak wet, so.
Yeah, quote unquote.
As I said,
I mean, we'll have a company card.
Okay, cool. There we go. we'll rack that thing up.
We'll have the 70-30 split. We'll abide by all the laws.
How did 14 taco 20 packs help build the university next?
No, because we, you know, party.
Okay, so let me ask you, because everybody at this point knows the article.
Uh-huh.
I think the Rick Bozich article that come out.
Yes.
Let me ask you, because I'm curious. Does the article... the way the article was written bother you more?
Yes.
Or does the...
Yes.
Sorry. The contents of the Purvis Ellison bother you more?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. So yes to either one of them.
Okay.
100%. The content... or lack thereof bothers me.
Okay.
I did not see, I was looking for two lines as I was reading the article, and I saw, you know, you can tell where the article's going. You could tell how it starts with Hubert Davis reached out to Purvis and Hubert Davis were in the league together for probably 15 to 16 years together, you know, like, just I could see the leading nature of the article from the beginning, right?
Right.
But you know, you prepare yourself for two things in the article. If you're Marcus Maben or a local, you know, person who's familiar with the story.
Yeah.
You wait for Coach Mack's comment or the phrase or the line, Coach Mack could not be reached for comment. Because this is local journalism.
Yeah.
A conversation like that, somebody's available for comment.
Okay.
An athletic director, a sports information director, a Daryl Griffith, who is an ambassador to the university. There is somebody available from the other alternate perspective of this conversation about the relationship between a former player with a retired jersey and the University of Louisville. I was waiting for the rebuttal part of the story because that is the number one. When you're writing something, every job interview. Okay, well, what are some of your weaknesses? You know, every article, you have to give the counterpoint to the article for it to be legit.
I would agree with that.
There was not one throughout the entire thing. The other counterpoint that I expected to see at some point was, but he did seem to vouch for the University of Louisville when Fresh Kimball was asked, why Louisville? I talked to Purvis about Louisville. You know, this was a article written.
Sure.
So much so that the Louisville fans were so relieved as a army, were so relieved when you heard Fresh Kimball refer to Purvis Ellison and he said, no, Louisville's a great plot. And
because that was coming right off the heels of Lance Ware.
Yes.
Who it felt like the opposite happened.
Yes.
And I'm saying felt like because there's no clear.
Right. So Louisville fans have always been wondering, why doesn't he love us?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm phrasing that in a dramatic way. But from the time I arrived on campus, there has always been a, you know, hey, spread your wings and you'll come back home eventually. You know, to when it came to Purvis Ellison conversation, you know, a couple times you hear, man, we're having an 86 reunion event. You think Purvis is going to make it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, yeah, it's cool. He's going to be here. He's going to be here. Is Purvis going to make it?
Mm-hmm.
You would hear that every time. That would be the scuttlebutt,
yeah.
Right? So this is a long standing, hey, you know, like, Purvis is the guy who usually is not available.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At the events. This isn't something known. This doesn't even take, like, this doesn't even bring out emotion because this part of the conversation is factual. We talked about his first big appearance was the game.
Last game of Freedom Hall.
Last game of Freedom Hall.
Huge news that he showed up.
Right. So if you don't include things like that in the article, than I have to explain to intern Charles from West Virginia or transplant community member, which makes up a huge audience. If they don't have any context to any of this stuff, first glance or undetailed guy says, man, Louisville, they don't even mess with that. You know, a guy with retired jersey.
Yeah.
And then you throw in to further drive your point home, you throw in comments about Butch Beard and his feelings on Wes Unseld not getting the proper respect, you know?
Sure.
Without including it's not even okay. That's a separate conversation altogether.
Right.
I think you did a disservice on how much Louisville tried to rectify that situation immediately with a new Coach Mack, a new Neely Bindapudi as president, a new, you know, yes, you can know your history and not be as connected emotionally to the history as a Butch Beard is with Wes Unseld. If there was another guy, there was another guy who all of a sudden was getting honored, and he was a Wes Unseld era guy, you know, okay, I can get the spark and emotion there. But there wasn't, you know, this is a, you know, sure, you felt this way and people feel, you know, people, yes, there's plenty of people say Wes Unseld deserves a statue or deserves more credit. We can talk about that. We can negotiate that.
Absolutely. I might even agree.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, right. But is this something like you get this done, you agree to do this within 3 years, or I'm disassociating? Like, okay, like we're going to have to talk about this. We're going to have to board member it. We're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to get the wheels in motion on this thing. Right now we got the Coach Crum. We got the dormitory going on here. We got projects. We got we got COVID going on right now. Like, we can bring this to the table, Butch. Absolutely. Like, you know, hey, this is something we were unaware of. That
I totally agree.
That this was a thing. You know, so all those nuances of this conversation are important to include because the article came off as a low-hanging fruit attack on recruiting, you know, a sideways sneak attack on Coach Mack's recruiting.
Well, and the reason why I say that is the
Even
getting Louisville's side, it didn't bother me as bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I listened to Drew this morning and stuff. I kind of know, I think in this city we know, and I like Mr. Bozich. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I go to games. I know who your friends are. You know, I know you're close with who you're close with. Okay, cool. Like, that's fine. I didn't like that you wrapped the present in the gift wrapping of COVID. And was like, okay, this article is
say in the beginning
his bout with the COVID variant.
Mm-hmm.
Then you dumped all this crap on me, and then you were like, oh yeah, and then, you know, I mean, it was bad, but you know, he got better. Well, that's okay. Well, then that should be a story because actually, I mean, that's a terrifying thing for somebody his age
unto itself. Yeah.
And I mean, this is a guy who got a vaccination and got the variant and was in the hospital, you know, hospitalized. Like, that's a serious story. I mean, like, okay, so wait a minute. So am I glad he's okay, or am I supposed to be pissed off? Like, okay, so what was you trying to get here? Am I supposed to be happy that Purvis Ellison is okay, or am I supposed to be pissed off?
Like, that
or was you trying to put a sympathetic
on the character, yeah.
And then, which, let me say this.
Pull it at the emotional strings.
Before I get into the nuts and bolts of it, some of it too, let me say this. Texter said this. I think this is going to have a reverse effect. And I'm sorry, Texter, the one that said it, but that we're getting so many texts right now. I think this rallies the fan base around Chris Mack. I think things like this help strengthen that relationship because Louisville is very – we are a fan base go ahead.
Can I pause?
Okay.
Because you were making such a great point that I wanted to interject.
Okay.
You say – rally the fan base, right?
Right.
And you were going to make a point on why it rallies the fan base.
Uh-huh.
The moment you said that, I thought, maybe it rallies the players more than the fan base.
It's a good point.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
Because, you know, I said it, you know, a few minutes ago. I have the email. I have the series of emails. We're going to meet up for drinks, and we're going to strategize on how to make the entire alumni basketball base feel comfortable.
Sure.
Say 50 people come to the, you know, this cocktail drinks hour. You know what I'm saying? You probably saw a little video of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Everybody had a blast. That was a strategy meeting.
Yeah.
We got our book bags and got some swag.
Yeah,
it was nice stuff, too. Yeah, it was awesome. You know, but that was one of those fill out. You know, look, okay, I'm not a, okay, let's say the 50 guys that came, right?
Right.
They were kind of the, I'm going to be part of the program no matter what. You know, like I'm going to work. I'm going to proactively do what I can to be a part of this program.
Yeah.
Right? The next event is, hey, make sure you let everybody know if you came to our little cocktails event, right? It's legit. Like, I'm, you know, this is not a, what's the word I'm thinking of? This is not a photo op.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
it's
okay,
not a photo op. But we do want to, you know, we do want to enjoy. We do want to take some pictures and videos because you guys are the program. You know, we want to be able to do this all the time.
Well, it's important the fans know this stuff's going on.
Yeah,
like, that's
right.
Part of running the business.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Because it was important. Okay, so next event. There's a photo op, and we're going to open the practice to all y'all. We're going to have some open run. Nothing gets the kids jacked like being in front of the elders, you know, playing some basketball, right? So now, again, I saw players go through the transformation of, I'm not even going to try to get tickets from Rick. You know, I'm not even going to try to even contact
him. Which is fair.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah, they were fair.
I literally watched people who were kind of on the fence. I want to come, but I don't feel welcome.
And I'm saying it was fair on their end to feel that way.
Yes.
Because you could argue that the way things went down, whatever, that's
you,
a different thing.
You inject Rick Pitino with sodium pentothal, and he says, I probably could have did better with the relationship of former players.
Yeah, but I was a little on edge.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, at the beginning, sure.
Right.
But I just wanted to clear that up. Okay. I meant from the players'
side. The transformation of alumni, former players.
Yeah.
I mean, even back when Marvin Mitchell.
Yeah.
And they started saying we can retroactively we have a program of money set aside to get former players to grow. They did a damn good job of saying, Marcus, you are coming back to finish. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, absolutely.
Hey,
yeah.
This is your, listen, they called like a car warranty. Marcus, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? My accident, I'm still not ready.
Yeah.
Marcus, it's time.
Price saved your life.
Yeah, it did, 100%.
You know, I mean, it was bigger than a degree.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Sure, no. There's that.
Yeah.
Nate Johnson. I graduated with DeJuan Wheat. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's, you know, years ahead of me. But for me,
I remember the press conference,
yeah,
right?
For me to be able to say, sure. For me to be able to say, DeJuan, Tony, they're serious, man.
Mm-hmm.
Now DeJuan's graduating. Now Tony's graduating. You know, somebody else calls, hey, man, they serious about that little, you know, finishing your degree? Tobias, hey, man, it's legit.
Yeah.
So I literally watched dudes I played with, dudes before me.
Yeah.
I watched the spreading and the reaching back out. And, you know, like I said, the Coach Mac thing. I saw the self-esteem of the ex-players right
now. Yeah.
So, you can get back to the rallying of the – you can go back to the rallying of the fan.
Yeah.
But I'll still leave it at the rallying of the of the player.
Well, I think that's a good way to do it, too, because we keep it that's our perspectives. I mean, I get to meet some of – you know, I mean, I'm blessed to be able to meet the people I meet through you, but, I mean, that's a perspective you have with the players. And again, and like this text here, this is one thing I don't like about it, and then let me get in – I'll get back into the fans. But the texter, you're right. I'm not coming at you on this. It says, can we discuss why all of a sudden in the past year it's become a thing to do for older players to come out and publicly bash the school? Now, I understand – where that, and the texture goes on and says more. And like I said, it's a good text. I understand what they're saying. But that's what I hate, because I do think that it becomes a, the former players. When in reality, I think there's about three. And I'm not here to talk about them or why they do what they do. But
if you did this, what kind of beef with former players who are not involved in currently in basketball?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like
kind of.
Okay. There's let's say out of all the former Louisville basketball players.
Yeah.
Let's say 10 of them are in college coaching or recruiting.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's a select group, you know, a smaller group. And then if you say out of that group, let's say 3 out of 10 of them are disgruntled, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So like and we're talking about competing not allegiances, but
I know what you're saying.
God, I can't think of the word. Okay, if you have a different motivation from the university, you have
ideologies. Like, I guess not really. That would be
just
different.
Talk
agenda. No, that's not it.
A different agenda.
Yeah, competing agendas. Yeah, but there's another word that we always use.
Yeah, I'm not exactly
philosophies.
No, when you have to say
walking the Thoris over here.
A disclaimer that, you know, hey, okay, if stop now.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm ruining this show right now.
Okay.
And I'm doing it voluntarily. Okay. If you and I are in business or we're both in business, right? But I know somebody or I got an inside man and you don't, you know. I have to volunteer that information because I have a conflict of interest.
Okay. Texter says conflict of interest.
Okay, yeah, conflict. Yeah. So the disgruntled people usually have a conflict of interest.
Sure.
You know? So I I want to be a coach, right?
Yeah.
I want to be a coach in this program, or I want this program to recruit my kids.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it benefits me to put pressure on the relationship, to almost manufacture a forced reaching out to, you know what I'm saying? Listen, make no mistake about it. Having Louisville recruiting any of your kids is a badge of honor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it benefits, and I'm not saying this is what's going on, not at all, but I'm saying hypothetically, it would benefit Purvis Ellison, who's running his AAU program, to have 5 kids that are being recruited by the University of Louisville.
Well, and that's another side of the story, too. Because by all accounts, Louisville has zoomed DJ Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and look, DJ Wagner's not coming to Louisville. Chris Mack knows that. I know that.
How do you know that, Steve?
Everybody around here knows that.
How do you know that, Steve?
But there was still contact made. That's the other part of the article, the article that I'm kind of like, Louisville has reached out. Like, it's not like they've not, and it's just kind of like just being glossed over, like, oh, Louisville's not even messing with them. That's just not true. You know, so it's like,
yeah. So yeah, the problem is, yeah, you don't want to leave things to insinuations.
Yeah,
that's just terrible.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you know, and then you got, you know, and then you, of course, you know, you see the Kentucky Twitter is like, you know, oh man, like, they're not even recruiting them, you know, and it's like, well, no, that's not true. This is simply not true.
The amount of. Put it this way, the amount of resources that you should expend on little Wagner.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry.
I wouldn't, as a recruiting advisor, I wouldn't advise you spend a huge chunk of your recruiting resources on little Wagner. Not because he's not an awesome player.
Oh, no, he is.
But, yeah, just the things you're fighting a lot more wars.
Well, I mean, right off the top, I mean, with the way things are, I mean, what's the chance he plays college basketball?
30%.
And 2023 may be able to go to the league. I'm not
already,
just kind of thinking.
You can already go G League.
Yeah, yeah.
Or overtime, which got didn't a 5-star sign with them today?
Yeah. Oh, I you know what? I glossed over that, but yeah. I did see something about that. Yeah. That so I mean, yeah, it's like, okay. I mean,
so now it goes down to 18 to 20%.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, at that point, you know, okay, whatever. So
Jalen Lewis, there we go.
Yeah. Jalen Lewis. I did see that. So yeah, there was so that part of it's another thing too. But back to my other point. I think things like this. What,
Steve? I just laughed in the middle of nowhere. You want to know why I laughed in the middle of nowhere?
Was it?
Because we're talking about all the challenges and the hurdles, right? You realize that's a Nike program?
Oh yeah, I mean, I wasn't even going to do that.
Yeah,
but yes,
it's all Nike program, Steve. Michael Avenatti just got 2.5 years because he was going to expose the cheating that Nike has been doing for the last 10 years. He had all the information. They raided his office, handcuffed him, threw him in jail. He had the goods on the president of the United States, and he was a good lawyer. For Stormy Daniels, he messed with Nike and he got 2.5 years. People, you still think I'm crazy?
Listen to what Dan Wetzel tweeted about that too yesterday. Wetzel said, "Lawyer Michael Avenatti to get 30 months in case involving the extortion of Nike in grassroots basketball case. Judge can't understand how fellow attorney Mark Garagos wasn't charged. Same confusion." This is the judge, right? Mm-hmm. "Same confusion on how Nike somehow skated through all of this while Adidas execs were convicted."
I mean, this stuff is real, people. I mean, like, this is real.
That's what a judge was like. Wait a minute. The judge was like, how the hell did Nike school, how did Nike get through this whole thing and never once get like charged? Like, what happened here, man?
I want to know what shoes that judge was wearing.
Yeah, right.
You know, pull up them robes. Let's see what we got here.
Oh, man, that's
But
funny.
You get the point.
Yeah.
You get the point. You're an uphill battle.
Yeah, so point being, yes. I mean,
Rally. I want you to pull the full dismount on your fans rally on this one.
Yeah. So anyways, there was that part of it too.
Oh, okay. So that was pretty much the point you were making.
Well, no. Okay, well, on that. But again, that's why I said I went to the will he even play college? Mm-hmm. Because obviously, there's that part of it too on why I'm not expending a lot of time.
Okay, yeah. I want to know. How much energy, because I have an opinion on this. This is a big conversation in the recruiting world for the attacks mm-hmm. on Chris Mack.
Okay.
Quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. There are some facts that we have to acknowledge when having this conversation. Number one, you are not allowed to publicly say something like, "We don't recruit that kid because we don't have a shot at getting him."
Right.
Not allowed to say that at Louisville. You're not allowed to say, "Hey, underneath the cloud, that's even one more strike against you getting a kid like that."
Okay.
You are not allowed to say these things because they bite at the self-esteem of the fan and the supporter. If you feel like you have the confidence and the history to be on par with anybody, and I acknowledge you have to operate like that. But in a quiet moment, you also have to acknowledge that if efficiency and long-term success is what's important to you, taking flyers on high, extremely high risk recruits,
right,
is not the smart play.
Yeah.
Right. But I understand that that puts Coach Mack in a position to have to almost voluntarily take the bullet from the fan base and double down on his team's success.
Well, I don't think he's going to take a bullet for this one.
Mm-hmm. No, the willingness.
Oh,
the willingness
okay.
to do it.
I was going
to
say, because I think that stuff like this, actually, now maybe not the vocal Twitter, but like we remember that you then remember, you're like, well, that thing had 70 responses of people mad. Okay, well, I'm just saying, not this situation, right. but anything. Well, that's 70 people. That's what I say. That's why I was like blown away.
Yeah.
When I moved in over there, I was like, it's all Louisville fans. You're like, this is awesome.
I forgot how many
yeah.
happy, regular Louisville fans.
Yeah, though. Yeah. So I think that majority, when it comes from this, every time one of these come out, you rally more. Give me one second.
Thank you, DFH. But I'm on
fire, so we had to turn that back down. I love having that thing. Mm. I think that things like this rally the fans around the coach. 100%. And I think that you'll see that.
Yeah, because what... Yeah, like
this is almost as odd as it sounds. It's almost like kind of what the doctor ordered. With coming off of last season, the way it happened, I know some people were kind of like, what are we doing? You missed the tournament, you know. Kind of like there's some unrest here, you know. Fans weren't able to go there and show their support or displeasure, whatever, you know, it was. Even though I don't think fans were displeased with the season last year until we missed the tournament. Then we were upset, you know, like because throughout the season.
You know what I still think, though, when you say something like that, Steve?
Yeah.
I think that's more of a phrase than a feeling. I think the phrase "we didn't make the tournament" is a phrase, but I think the feeling is we got screwed out of the tournament.
I think a lot of fans feel that way, but
that's another thing. You're not allowed to do that. You're not even allowed to say that.
I know.
Yep. You just there. That's a no excuse. The recruiting is a no excuse. You know, business. You can't use again. You can't use cloud. You can't use anything in the recruiting thing or the tournament thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's and again, I want to ask you: does this situation strike at the confidence of, like, does it change your perception of Coach Mack's recruiting ability when you read a story like this?
No. What do you mean? Like, no, I don't
yeah,
think
right.
so.
Does, yeah, yeah, yeah. Does it sound like, oh, does it make him sound to me, the article felt like it was trying to make him look incompetent on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but I don't think people feel that way. Listen, I think I can understand. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand when some people may say, well, with Coach Satterfield, you know, they're like, well, I feel like we could get this guy and he likes this guy more. Okay, well... Okay, fair enough. You know, like, I may not agree with it, but I'm like, I can see that. With Coach Mack, I don't think it's the case at all. I mean, I don't think people are displeased with what he's brought in any year. I mean, have you felt any year?
The unsatisfiable are, again, you the vocal majority... The vocal minority, the unsatisfiable.
Okay, but I think that over the last year has shown its head. I think people have really been awakened to that in general, just with our whole world in general, with last year, with COVID, with the election, with everything, that there are 2% on each side that you almost don't count.
But they're the loudest.
But they're the loudest. Yeah. You know, the 2% on each side are the loudest. the, you know, you're going to have the 2%, and God forbid, I mean, I know poor Nikki V probably got a ton of it, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, you're going to get the 2% on each side that's going to say, okay, this thing's a hoax, it was nothing.
Right.
You're all crazy, you're psycho. And then you're going to have another 2% that's going to be like, you're
get in
all,
the house, stay
you're
inside.
All going to die.
Tomorrow.
Every one of you are going to die. This is it. Right. So go say your goodbyes.
You're actually already dead.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, right.
And the election was the same way this year. It was very much, you know, two sides were like, this is God in the flesh.
And
the other two
and here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's the great example because this is not it doesn't apply anymore when you say the Crum era guys and the Patino era guys.
No.
Or the Mac era guys.
Because the Patino era guys should actually, if anybody right now, could be pissed off. In my opinion, it's the Patino era guys at this point, right? Because Patino was dumped on his head. I mean, if anybody's going to be pissed at Louisville at this point, and those guys aren't.
But see, they're not. But here's the thing. They were never excommunicated, or they never felt excommunicated.
Right, and I agree with that.
So they got the benefit of a good transition.
100%.
Okay,
I'm mad
about the way. Okay, Crum era guys, you know, back when that was a thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not a thing anymore. So this article doesn't drive the same emotion. You know what I'm saying? Right now on my phone, Tick Rogers, you know what I'm saying? We've all been invited back. Just confirm it. You know, like, I'm glad. What's up, Tick? We gotta hang out sometime, man.
Yeah.
But you get my point. Like,
there is
no divide between Crum era guys and Rick Pitino era guys.
No, I don't think so.
Because
right?
They've all been invited back openly. Again, maybe my Trez is angry or, you know, saying something like that. But
I just saw Tony last night put a picture out of him and Russ. Tony Williams put a picture of him and Russ. Did an event together.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you get my point.
Yeah.
Like while this used to be a polarizing thing, and look, Rick, I'm not doing this to you, but you're going to get my point. The traditional establishment does not like the overwhelming majority pulling in one direction.
Sure.
Because you can't rally up a side.
No.
You know,
I would agree with that.
For the last, you know, for the last 15, 20 years, you've been able to say, well, Crum era guys don't think Coach Pitino's doing his job. And, you know, if I don't have any content today, I go get one quote from a Crum era guy. Now I got a war between the Crum era guys and the Rick Pitino era guys.
Yeah.
Rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
Let me find a Rick Pitino guy who doesn't know anything about the Crum era guys.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, Griff, I didn't even know who he was until so-and-so. Ooh, let me write an article about how Edgar Sosa didn't know anything about who Darryl Griffith was.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. These young punks don't have any respect for it. We get everybody riled up. No, it's not that now.
Right.
Crum era guys are aware of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
They've already had plenty of time to voice their opinion.
Sure.
Rick Pitino guys. Luke Hancock said it. I don't know if he called in that day or he said it. He said, I had no idea.
He said it on the air.
He said,
I had no idea that there was an issue.
Had no idea.
Yeah.
That there was even, you know what I'm saying, a group that didn't feel welcome here.
Sure.
And you say, oh, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, Luke.
well, it's what we did this morning. Intern Charles walked in and Charles said, hey, guys, this article, man. And Charles, now y'all remember, Charles didn't live around here. Charles didn't know the background. He said, and it was funny the way we looked at him. He knew something. He was like, something I said was, you know, because he come in and he said, do you think that Mac maybe not recruiting them maybe means that he's not going to be here very long? You know, and we both looked at him like, oh, Charles. And he immediately goes, that was stupid, wasn't it? And we're like, well.
See, he's such a good
kid. Right.
We were like, no.
He's like a puppy.
But we actually told him.
His reaction was perfect. He was targeted in this article. Somebody unfamiliar with any nuances of the relationship, that's the mind that was targeted. So he's the independent mind who doesn't know
you know, what I think about these robberies and what do I think about, you know, I don't know the details, but I'm seeing people talk about Mac and I'm seeing anything. If you don't know any program details, you just read that article and it's like, oh, so that's why they're losing.
Yeah.
So that's he what synthesized that. Oh, there's like there's different like ways to analyze things. There's like analysis,
synthesis.
And he synthesized just by looking at it, not through red or
right,
blue,
right, right. He's in the process of forming his opinions about local sports teams. So imagine if you just saw, you know, if you just saw that article and said, he doesn't even look. He has an alumni, and he doesn't know to call his alumni. And Hubert Davis, like he doesn't know Hubert Davis and Purvis been in the league together for 15 years, and Orlando Antigua and Kenny Payne and Milt Wagner, and you know, and all those guys have traveled in the same, you know, general circles. Like they all played, you know, like they're all in the same circle for 30, 40 years, like. Not, Coach Mack is in Indianapolis, and he's in Canada. He better be in Canada. Well, let me get to the phone lines. Cody, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Hello, guys, so to me, this shouldn't even really be much of a story. I mean, the thing is, if Purvis doesn't want to be around and doesn't like come to games, doesn't come to Louisville Live, I'd never see him in the city. Like then, like why should Coach Mack make all these efforts to bring him here? I mean, in his press conference, he was gushing about how much he was one of his favorite players growing up to watch here. And it's like at some point, it's like, look, if you don't want to be around, then we're just not going to reach out to you too much, man. So, by the way, I just woke up like 30 minutes ago. So sorry if I'm a little all over the place. Like I actually kind of just forgot my second point. So I just kind of blew this call. So thank you.
Listen, appreciate the call. It's all good. But to your point, those are two separate conversations. The recruiting part of the conversation and the relationship part of the conversation.
Right. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying in the I addressed it as such. The relationship part of the conversation, I take extreme offense to the narrative that, you know what I'm saying? Because everyone has seen Coach Mack go above and beyond to reestablish that connection.
Yes.
So put that to bed right now. You're actively avoiding being a part of this university if you feel like you can't get in contact with Coach Mack.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I do agree with that.
And as far as the recruiting part, you got to have relationships with people you know, you trust, you're comfortable with, you know, like that takes a buildup, you know?
Yeah.
If it's about Wagner, you can understand, you know, and like you say, if they've already Zoomed and, you know, if you felt like it, you know, the fit might be there, what are you looking for? Is this what you're looking for? I'm looking for guaranteed playing time.
Well, listen, recruits of that level, okay, you let them know you're interested and then you wait on a phone call. I mean, like, that's...
Yeah, you check on them?
Yeah. When you're talking about the 1-2 guys, you know, it's okay, all right, we're interested. You call me.
Yeah, like, yeah, send us a list of your demands.
Yeah, Imani Bates. We'll take him. Okay, wait on that phone call from Imani Bates.
You know? Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Or
yeah.
His people.
Yeah, his people, right, you know, and you go on. So in the next hour, We can get back to this a little more too. There's a couple things I want to discuss. Two things in particular. One, a former Kentucky star, speaking of throwing people under the bus.
Looky.
Has tossed his coach under the bus. We'll get to that. And a current coach at the University of Louisville has listened to our show, has taken a suggestion, and applied it on the recruiting trail. And we'll talk about that part, too.
I am looking forward to that.
Yeah.
This Friday's turning out. I thought I was going to be agitated today. This is a good feeling
Friday.
It's going
to be a fun second hour. Yeah. It's going to be a fun second hour.
Middays with Marcus Raven on 93.9 The Ville.